What a joy it is to be back here at Rosedale Baptist Church. Dr. Toole, thank you again for the gracious invitation and the members here at Rosedale. It really is a highlight for my wife and family to be here every year. We have thoroughly enjoyed ourselves, established many friendships, particularly with your pastor and his wife and family and the church staff here. We're always honored to be here. I thank you again for the lovely accommodations, your kind hospitality. I'm always met with warm welcomes, and I appreciate those working all over the building to make this revival meeting a possibility. We understand that it's not the food we fix and the clothes we wear and everything we do that brings revival. But I tell you, if we want revival, we want to make sure we do our part and let God do his part. And I'm thankful for you doing your part tonight, being in the house of God. I know that God's already met with you yesterday in the services here at Rosedale, and I'm looking forward to what God's going to do in and through this service tonight. Thank you for the lovely basket in the room. I certainly appreciate it. And I saw a couple of healthy things in there for my wife and the rest of them for me. Amen. And I'm in love with calories. I am in love with grease, cholesterol, fat, all of those things. I know some of you, New Year's resolution, decide to go on a diet. Well, you do it for me. Amen. I'm enjoying life. I tell our people all the time, we've got some people in the church who are very big health fanatics, and they're often warning me. I drink Chick-fil-A lemonade in the pulpit. That's what I drink at home. And they warn me I need to be drinking more water, and I add sugar to Chick-fil-A lemonade. Amen. Black people like everything sweeter, all right? And so I drink, and they get on me about my eating habits. And I'm doing better. I really am. I'm doing better. But I warn them all the time that, you know, those that eat bad die of bad health, and those that eat good die of depression. All right, so either way, you die. So I've never met a happy vegetarian. You cannot be happy if you don't eat meat. Somebody say amen. I feel a preaching storm coming on right about now. I would die without fried chicken. I really would. And everything else that's meat. Now, I'm not into squirrel and possum and all those things. But I love beef, I love pork, I love bacon, real bacon, amen. Turkey bacon don't even get crispy. I like real bacon. I like meat. And by the way, when I come to church, I like meat, amen. This word is full of meat, amen. And it makes the difference. God is good. He's blessed us, given us his precious word. And I'm thankful for the Bible. You will not bypass the Bible and get revival. And I'm so thankful for a church that places a high premium on the word of God. I know I'm in a pulpit where every service the word of God is preached, rightly divided. And I'm thankful for that. What a joy it is to stand behind this sacred desk and preach the blessed word of God. Glad to have my lovely wife here with me tonight. Bethany, would you stand? Everybody get to see you. They'll see how good of taste that I have. My beautiful wife. And I certainly thank the Lord for her and her children. They're somewhere in the children's classes. I'm sure sometime during the message you'll hear at least one of them. And so I appreciate my children and certainly thank the Lord for the opportunity to be here. If you have a Bible tonight, I'd like you to take your Bible and open it to the book of 1 Chronicles chapter number 12. 1 Chronicles chapter number 12. And I'm going to invite you to stand to your feet with me for the reading of God's word. 1 Chronicles chapter number 12, as we open the blessed word of God. The Bible tells us in verse number 38, all these men of war that could keep rank came with a perfect heart to Hebron to make David king over all Israel. And all the rest of Israel were of one heart to make David king. And there they were with David 3 days, eating and drinking, for their brethren had prepared for them. Moreover, they that were nigh them, even unto Issachar and Zebulun and Naphtali, brought bread on asses and on camels and on mules and on oxen and meat. Somebody say amen. Meal, cakes of figs, bunches of raisins and wine and oil and oxen and sheep abundantly, for there was joy in Israel. Father, I pray, God, tonight that you would take the blessed word of God, serve it on the table of the hearts of these thy people, that every one of us might eat me filled and strengthen. You've given us the power to do everything that pertains to life and godliness. God, in these next few moments that we gather around the word of God, we come tonight apart from a real world full of real problems with real people. God, we're not here because we have nothing else to do. We have nowhere else to go. We need a touch from you. We need a word from you. For that soul nearest hell tonight, that one needs to leave here redeemed. For those of us who are serving you, but the fire is waning, and that freshness of your anointing power in our lives is lost. It's in the distant past. God, in these next few moments tonight, wilt thou revive us again? Help us, Lord, to not take for granted your presence, but to come humbly before you tonight, expecting something from you. I pray, God, that as your vessel, you cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, fill me with your spirit. Help me to be a blessing to these thy people, to preach what thus saith the Lord. Hide me behind the cross of Christ, in no way I'd hinder the work of the Holy Spirit of God. Bless now this precious word in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. The Old Testament of the Word of God is centered primarily around the nation of Israel, the Jewish people, God's chosen people, the people with whom he established his covenant. Way back when to Abraham, he promised him to make him a father of many nations. Israel was and is God's chosen people. Israel looked around at the other nations and saw that they all had kings and said, we want a king like the other nations have a king. It boils down to this: God was not enough. So God gave them what they asked for. By the way, be careful what you ask God for. He might just give it to you. God gave them a king. A king by the name of Saul. He was no shabby man. He stood head and shoulders above all the rest. And it was time for him to become king. God gave him another heart. And following behind Saul were those whose hearts God had touched. But it wasn't long before Saul was rejected by God. He disobeyed God and disgraced God. And God had to remove Saul. And with removing Saul, he replaced Saul with a man by the name of David. Listen to the description of David. He's a man after God's own heart. Listen to what we know David as, the sweet psalmist of Israel, the giant killer. David was a special man. David was the man that God anointed. David was the man that God found. David was the man that God chose. David was the man that God put his approval upon. As Saul began to see his replacement assuming his reign to the throne, and as David began to move towards that throne that Saul did not want to relinquish, Saul began to develop that envy inside of him. When they came back from war, the maidens, the women said, Saul have slain his thousands, but David have slain his tens of thousands. And the Bible says that David became Saul's enemy continually. Several times Saul tried to kill David. And several times David had the opportunity to kill Saul, but he made up his mind he would not touch God's anointed. Eventually, Saul died. Saul's son Ishbosheth was installed to be the next king. And I want you to imagine what's happening amongst God's people, the nation of Israel. To the north, Ishbosheth is ruling, and now all of a sudden, others are with David. So there's a divided kingdom. Many are still siding with Saul and Saul's son, while others are siding with David, God's choice. There's a great divide amongst God's people. And what I say to you, when God's people are divided, not much will get done. But now we're in our text here in 1 Chronicles chapter 12. And the Bible says that not only are they coming just from Israel and just from Judah, but the Bible says they're coming from both places, and now all of a sudden, a divided kingdom that is characterized by chaos, a divided kingdom that is characterized by indecision, a divided kingdom that is characterized by cliques and division is now coming together. And here they were coming from Israel, and not only coming from Israel, but coming from Judah, and now the Bible says they are coming to Hebron in 1 Chronicles chapter 12, and they're all coming together and agreeing on one thing. David is our king. And in 1 Chronicles chapter 12, we begin to see how God is assembling an army that was like none other. An army of men, an army of soldiers, an army of warriors that did more, that went further, that accomplished greater than anybody else could accomplish at that time. And the reason why they were effective is because they said, no more division, no more indecision, no more unrest, no more chaos, no more iffiness. We've made up our mind. We've decided that our king is David. Now I want to think about this just for a moment, because the more that the pages of time turned here on planet Earth, the more disgusting it is becoming at how divided a nation like the United States of America is really on the things and the undeniable principles of the Word of God. We're living in a similar scene to 1 Chronicles chapter 12. Our society seems to be rendered perplexed, confused by all the vices of this world. Listen, if you would, beloved, television, Hollywood, the entertainment industry, the sports world, humanism, atheism, experimentalism, secularism, ecumenicalism, and all sorts of religion seem to blind the minds of people, seem to steal the world's attention and allegiance. And it seems that a society of people is divided as to who the king is. Our young people today are lost in Facebook, rap music, immorality, pornography, and all the vices of this world. 3 out of 4 of our seniors graduate without their virginity. 20% of 15-year-olds have sex by the time they turn 15. 11 hours and 23 minutes a day the average young person spends on some form of social media. That means they've got time for Facebook, but no time to get their face in the book. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a problem. Every sitcom has at least one homosexual on it. And now we're legislating laws where it seems like it's okay to do what God says is no way. What bothers me is that God's people have bought into this indecision. They bought into this chaos. And we walk in the house of God, and people who name the name of the Lord Jesus Christ are confused as to who they'll serve, are confused as to who's on the throne. They're confused as to who's ruling and who's in charge. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not preaching at every church in America tonight, but I am at Rosedale Baptist Church. I'm not preaching to every person in Maryland tonight, but I am preaching to those under the sound of my voice in this building tonight. And I'd like to say to you, if the potential of revival is experienced in this building today, it's going to require some men, women, boys and girls to emerge out of the mass of indecision, out of the chaos of nonsense. We need some husbands, some wives, some children, some single parents, some senior citizens, some those in the midst of a terrible job, a wicked society to say on television they may not know, on Hollywood they may not know, in the rap industry they may not know, in Congress they may not know, in the Supreme Court they may not know, but right here, right now, I know. I'm not confused, I'm not mixed up, I'm not perplexed, I'm not wishy-washy, I'm not up and down, I'm not all around, I'm not taking a vote, I'm not turning on CNN, I'm not seeing which way the fads and the trends and the paradigm shifts are going. I've made up my mind, I've decided, I know who my king is. I'm landing where God lands. Under which of the angels has God said, this day my son in whom I'm well pleased? But unto the son God says, thou art my son, a scepter of righteousness belongs to you. Ladies and gentlemen, just like God made it clear he chose David, God has made it clear he's chosen his lovely son Jesus. When Jesus got out of the Jordan River, that voice came from heaven and said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Ladies and gentlemen, there's salvation in none other, but there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. He is the way, he is the truth, he is the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. He didn't just become king when he left planet earth and came in that manger in Bethlehem. Isaiah said 700 years before he was born, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to tell you, I got in a car today, left Alexandria, Virginia, got on 95 on MLK holiday, drove down to Baltimore, Maryland, got in a car tonight, left the hotel room, loaded up my family, got in this building, sat out on the pew, and I'm standing up behind a sacred desk, not because I'm here to play patty cake, bingo, or pastime. I got here tonight because I made up my mind. I know who my king is. I know who my Lord is. I know who my master is. And ladies and gentlemen, if we're going to gather here tonight, let's not just have a revival meeting. Let's have revival. You say, Pastor, my money is funny. My friends are few. My marriage is on the rocks. My health is in bad shape. My job is on the fence. But I'll tell you one thing. Revival is not based on those things. It's based on one thing. Who do you serve? Who's your king? Who do you love? Who do you bow down to? Who sits on the throne of your life? I just kind of understand what the songwriter was saying when he said, all hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. All bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Let every kindred, every tribe on this celestial ball to him all majesty ascribe and crown him Lord of all. Ye chosen seed of Israel's race, ye ransomed from the fall. Hail him who saved you by his grace and crown him Lord of all. Oh, that with yonder sacred throne we at his feet may fall, we'll join the everlasting song and crown him Lord of all. Ladies and gentlemen, Philippians says, one day at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But I'm going to tell you what, I ain't going to wait till then. 2015, January, right here, right now, I'm bowing down to the one man who loved me, who saved me, who died for me, and who lives for me. Tonight, let's crown Jesus King. He deserves it. The problem is, we're too indecisive. And in this building tonight, there's no room for neutrality. See, we don't have time for wishy-washiness. And thank the Lord for the sanctified shout you have at church. But you better not lose it when you exit the building. I'm glad you look good when you get here. But you need to look good when you're not here. Because the king doesn't get on the throne when you get to church and get off the throne when we say the final amen. I want you to know, my Bible says of his kingdom there will be no end. And the army that assembled itself in 1 Chronicles chapter 12 assembled itself with a level of efficiency and effectiveness because there was no doubt in one soldier's mind who the king was. And if Rosedale can be what God wants it to be, let every member down from the seasoned saint to the toddler that just got saved, let every one of them know, no doubt in our mind, we got one king, not dead Muhammad, not fat Buddha, not his mama Mary, not the Pope, not the priest, not the sun, not the moon, not a cow that used to be his grandma, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, one king, and his name is Jesus. One king. One king. In 2015, I don't want to play any games. I want them to know I love him. And I want people to know I love him. Oh, we can sing about it. Yeah, we can. Yes, we can shout about it. Yes, we can. But they didn't pledge their allegiance to Jesus just by their singing and their shouting. They pledged their allegiance to Jesus by their soldiering. You know what that means? He's not your king because you sing, and he's not your king because you shout. He's your king because when it's time to fight, you line up in his corner. I'm wondering if we got any soldiers in the house tonight. I said, I'm wondering if we have any soldiers in the house tonight. I wonder if we've got any fighters in the house tonight. That'll say, I'm struggling financially, but I'll fight for my king. I'm battling in my marriage, but I'll fight for my king. I don't know where I'm going to get my next paycheck from, but I know who my king is. Let me tell you something. You don't have to know this, that, or the other, but one thing you can't know, all being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in us will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Listen to me. I can't put my stock in Republicans or Democrats, but I can put my stock in one thing. My Savior is forever king, is forever Lord, is forever on the throne. And we need to make up our minds. Now let's look at this army tonight. Number one, it was a skilled army. I like this. Look at verse number 2. And it's giving us the dialogue of those that came at Ziklag and then others that came at Hebron, and this gradual development of an army that represented undivided allegiance to David. Verse 2, armed. You know what that tells me? They were skilled because they were prepared. Now look at this moment. If you're going to go out into battle, you need to have your armor on. I wouldn't raise kids in America without armor. I wouldn't go out there and try to lead a marriage without armor. Amen. I wouldn't leave my house that's a haven of rest and go to that world where I work on the job without armor. I'd like to ask you today, when you left the house, were you prepared? They were not only prepared, but they were proficient. Look at this. I like this. They could use both the right hand and the left, hurling stones and shooting arrows out of the bow, even of Saul's brethren of Benjamin. Listen to what the writer says. The writer said these boys were not only prepared, but they were proficient. If you had their right hand struck down, they could sling it with their left. You know what we need, Pastor Tool? We need some men, women, and boys and girls who are not only prepared for battle, but proficient in battle. I tell our people all the time, enough of this. I get back to you once I ask my pastor. You need to know how to use your own sword for your own self. You young people, don't come to church just because mama brought you. Come to church because you want to learn about God. Amen. And when that science teacher with the glasses on the bottom of his nose and dandruff on his sports jacket tells you that one day some tadpole climbed out the water and evolved into some monkey, and all of a sudden turned into a human being, don't you go to the mirror and say, yeah, I do have some ape-like features and some ape-like behaviors. You may, but probably the reason why our kids act like animals because the science teachers tell them they came from animals. You tell them, no, I didn't come from an animal. No. My Bible tells me in Genesis that God took from the dust of the ground, formed man, breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Oh, David said in Psalm 139, my substance was not hid from thee when I was curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my members when as yet there was none of them. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Paul said, in him we live, we breathe, and we have our being. Ladies and gentlemen, thank God for the celebration of life that we did yesterday as Christians, because we understand that life doesn't begin when the doctor spots it on the sonogram. Life begins when God gives conception at birth. Ladies and gentlemen, we need some men, women, boys, and girls who know how to use their sword. Devil comes along and tell you lost. You need to tell him, I can't lose what I did nothing to get. And I give them eternal life, they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Amen. 1 John 5:11-13, this is the record that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you to believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Ladies and gentlemen, the reason why many of our people are casualties of war and are dying in the midst of spiritual battle is because they're carrying a weapon that they don't know how to use. Ladies and gentlemen, you don't win the battle based on your intellect, your background, or flashing your Rosedale Baptist Church membership card. You win the battle in the world by taking your Bible, submitting yourself therefore to God, resisting the devil, and he will flee from you. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto. According to thy word, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observed according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make the way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. This man, listen to me, the Bible says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Listen to me. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey, than the honeycomb. The grass withered, the flower faded, but the word of God shall endure forever. Sanctify them by thy truth, for thy word is truth. For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the joints and the marrow, and the soul and the spirit, and as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Timothy, the world is wicked, but from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. All scriptures given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Preaching, you talking fast and spitting a lot. What you trying to say? I'm trying to say the Bible. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the word of God. The Bible, 40 men over 1600 period time, producing a manuscript, inspired, inerrant, and infallible. There's nothing like the Bible, because the Bible came from God, and you need to know how to use your Bible. With the right and with the left. They were skilled. Jesus himself, when tempted by Satan, as it is written, as it is written. They were skilled. Number two, they were separated. They were separated. Look at what it, verse number 8, and the Gadites there separated themselves. Separated themselves. Here's what they said. If we're running with David, we cannot also run with Saul. Thank you for all three of you that said amen to that. Let me give you some practical examples of that. I can't sing in the choir for Jesus at church and sing in the car for the devil on the way. See, I'm not trying to get in your business. I'm just trying to get all up in your business. And I'm trying to tell you, I can't dress for Jesus on the platform and dress for the devil in the shopping mall. Amen. I can't tithe in the church on Sunday and play lottery when I leave. Pastor, you meddling? No, I'm not meddling. I'm preaching. And I'm just getting warmed up. I feel a preaching storm coming on right about now. It was a holiday today. I didn't hit no traffic on 95. I'm stored up with energy that I had reserved for traffic. I missed traffic, so I guess I got to dump it out on you. Energy, energy. I was ready for 95. 95 wasn't ready for me, so I guess you getting it. You know what this army needs to be? Separated. 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 Notice they were set apart. Notice they were serious. Look at verse number 8. The Bible says, men of war fit for battle that could handle the shield and buckler. Look at how serious they were. Their faces were like the faces of lions. They understood, we're not playing patty cake. We're at war. And ladies and gentlemen, we're serious about politics, serious about AFC and NFC. We're serious about weather. We're serious about clothes. We're serious about this. Let's get serious about Jesus. They were swift. The Bible said they were swift as the rose upon the mountain. Boy, they move like those animals on the mountain. You know what I like to see? I like a Christian on the move. Them three got a few more witnesses that time. You know what amazes me? We get busy for everything and move slow for Jesus. No, 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 no. When they made up their mind who their king was, they got moving. And let me tell you something. The best way, preacher, to tell whether or not people are really serious about Jesus being king is not by the way they come to the altar. It's about how fast they move for Jesus once they get off the altar. They were swift. Number three, they were servants. Look at verse number 16. There came of the children of Benjamin and Judah to the hold unto David. David went out to meet them. Answered and said unto them, if you be come peaceably unto me to help me, mine heart shall be knit unto you. But if you be come to betray me to mine enemies, seeing there is no wrong in mine hands, the God of our fathers look thereon and rebuke. Now here come some children of Benjamin to Judah. David, we're with you. How many of you know that everybody says we're with you, not with you? Well, if you know that, you know God does. So David said, well, let's find out. If you're peaceable to me, my heart will be knit to you. But if you're going to betray me, if you're not real, God's going to deal with you. Now look at verse 18. The spirit came upon Amasai, who was chief of the captains, and notice what he said. This is a servant. Thine are we, David, and on thy side, thou son of Jesse, peace, peace be unto thee, and peace be to thine helpers, for thy God helpeth thee. Notice, he was led by the Spirit. The Spirit of God came upon him. He was loyal in his support, and he was loving in his service. And ladies and gentlemen, when we make up our mind that Jesus is our King, the Spirit of God will lead us. Loyalty will guide us, and love will fuel us. Ladies and gentlemen, when we know that Jesus is King, we have no problems saying, I've decided to follow Jesus. I won't go back to the way I used to be. Too many people are going back. God save you out of drugs, don't look back. God save you out of alcohol, don't look back. You know what I like what they said to David? Thine are we. In other words, at your service. We belong, or we sing, I surrender all to, but do we mean it? Thine are we. I hear Paul in the rhetorical tone saying to the church of Corinth, what? What? You say that's not in there. I'm preaching this message. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own? For you're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God. What's the big deal? Read 1 Corinthians. They were divided. They were disagreeing. They were in division. They were a disgrace. They were tolerating incest. They were carnal. They were taking each other to court. They were jacked up. You understand what I'm saying? So when Paul said, what? He's saying, if you've been bought with a price by Jesus, why are you living for the world? You know what those that know Jesus as their Savior say? Thine are we. You decide where I go. You decide what I wear. You decide what I listen to. You decide where I work. You control my finances. Oh, I may have given birth to those children, but those kids are yours. I may have asked her to marry me, but my marriage is yours. I may have feet, but you gave them to me. I may have hands, but you gave them to me. I may have wealth, but you gave me power to get it. Oh, God, thine we are servants. Number four, I'm moving. Verse 32, I like this. The children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times, skilled, all prepared and proficient, separated, positioned themselves apart. Servants at your disposal, King. But sensible. Watch this now. Understanding the times. Now look at this woman. If you're going to live for God in 2015, you're going to have to understand the times. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a lot at stake. I look at my kids today. I look at my church. And I tell them without any reservation, we should be happy to serve the Lord. But without any doubt, we should know that it's going to require sacrifice. Freedom is not free. Do you understand? He left heaven, was mocked, beaten, ridiculed, rejected, reviled, beaten, bruised, and brutalized. His visage was so marred, you couldn't even tell he was a human being. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace is upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. If Calvary ensured our salvation, you think we shouldn't suffer? Understanding the times, understanding if you're light in darkness, you're going to stand out. If you're living for God on a wicked job, you won't always be loved. Jesus said, they hated me, they'll hate you. You have to decline some office parties. Shut down some dirty jokes. Leave some rooms with gossip going on. Amen. Young man, you may miss the starting lineup because you ain't gonna miss church to get it. But I'm asking you who your king is, Jesus or your coach. Well, Pastor, I think that's a little invasive. Have you ever read John 14? Whosoever did not hate his father and mother and wife and his own life also cannot be my disciple. You calling me invasive? Have you ever heard Jesus preach? Huh? Have you ever heard Jesus preach? Your mother and brother are waiting for you. Who are your mother and brother? Those that hear my word and do it. That's invasive. It's all or nothing, ladies and gentlemen. I learned that a long time ago. Daddy was a pastor and mama loved the Lord, but I learned a long time ago I cannot serve God vicariously through mama and daddy. I learned I had to make up my mind. I love the Lord. I love the Bible. I stand for God. And thank God I learned as a teenager and God protected me. I stand here today. I met my wife as a virgin. Never smoked a cigarette. Never tasted alcohol. I've never been to a movie theater. You think I'm crazy? You say, I feel sorry for you. I'm doing all right. God has taken care of me. Hey, listen to me. I don't miss it. I don't wish I had it. I'm not looking for the stuff I never had. I ain't trying to taste the stuff just so I can figure out what it tastes like. I hear people say all the time, I want my kids to try these things because if I don't let them try them, when they grow up, they're going to be curious, and curiosity killed the cat, and I want my babies to experience it so they won't go looking for it. That's the dumbest thing I ever heard in my life. That's like saying making them brush their teeth and put deodorant on going to make them grow up and desire halitosis and stanky underarms. No, that's like saying if they've never done it, they're going to want to do it. Ladies and gentlemen, some things you don't have to do to know you don't want to do them. I told my church yesterday, there's a lot of things I haven't done. One of them is I've never been shot, thank God. I live in Washington, D.C. Never been shot, but I sure ain't walking down the street in Southeast D.C. at night going, yo, my man, ain't never been shot before. I'd like to know what it feels like. Bust a cap in me, bruh. No. Are you kidding me? I think I got enough sense in my mind to know I don't want to get shot. You know what? I've got enough sense, enough in my mind, Dr. Tool, to know I don't want to lose my marriage. I don't want to lose my children. I don't want us to be standing in a church one Sunday and then my people wondering why I fell in immorality. I want to preach the Bible on Sunday and look at porn on Sunday night. Yeah. I don't want to be a womanizer. I don't want to be a shyster. I don't want to have my hand out shaking the visitors on Sunday and my hand in the offering plate on Sunday night. How do you avoid that? You got to understand the times. Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. You've got to be focused. You've got to stay on your knees. You've got to stay in this book. There are no shortcuts to spirituality. Nobody ever fell in love with Jesus and said, oops, I don't know how I did that. You fall in love with Jesus on purpose. Nobody ever loved the Bible and said, man, I slept on it on my pillow at night, woke up, and could quote the whole thing. No, you're going to quote it by reading it and memorizing it and meditating it and thinking on it. You close it with your hands, but you hide it in your heart. Wow. Issachar. They understood the day and age in which they marched. The name of Jehovah was on the line. When you leave Rosedale, you don't leave your king. Where's our allegiance? They were aware, they were alert, they were articulate. They could speak according to the times. Number 5, they were sincere. 33. Zebulun, expert in war, instruments of war, 50,000. Look at 33. Could keep rank. Not of a doubled heart. Ladies and gentlemen, I hate to offend you, but if you're going to march for Jesus, there's no room for hypocrisy. I mean, if you're not for him, just say so. If you're against him, just let it be known. We're not interested in WWJD bracelets. And honk if you love Jesus bumper stickers. Peter had a lot of bark, but he didn't have bite when he sat around the fire. I'll go with you all the way to death. Jesus said, you're going to deny me before the cock crows. And he did. Jesus looked at him. As soon as Jesus looked at him, he remembered what Jesus said. Many have said, I love him. But when pressure came, they ran. They were not of a double heart. Undefiled by hypocrisy. They were undefiled, not of a double heart. Upheld by humility. You say, where do you see humility? I see it right here. They could keep rank. You know what I'm learning? Everybody wants to be in charge. Well, you learn that in the pastorate. Everybody wants to be. Some people will only serve if you give them a position. And they'll only keep serving if you recognize them. Not these ones. They could keep rank. In other words, they knew who was in charge. You know the good thing about the local church? That God will give you the right pastor. I said God will give, and by the way, Rosedale, God has given you the right pastor. Don't run your pastor down. I just got here. We haven't talked. Don't have your pastor for lunch. I know the families in the church that love me, because their kids come running up to me. And when the kids go the other way, I know the parents are crooked. When I see the kids, they go, I say, how your mama been talking about me, boy? We laugh, I'm telling the truth. They could keep rank. You know what that means? They weren't jumping out of line trying to be in charge. They were marching in cadence. They were in rank. They were in their place. If you're in the choir, be in the choir. If you're on the bus route, be on the bus. If you work in the children's ministry, be in the children's ministry. I'm learning people will stay home from work when they sneeze. Sometime. But if they got one of them jobs where they have to go to get paid, they will miss church for a hint of a headache and go to work with pneumonia. You know why? They ain't paying me to go to church. But you know what? Doesn't the Bible say whether we eat or drink or what shall we do, do all to the glory of God? Shouldn't he deserve our everything? Undefiled by hypocrisy, upheld by humility, and united in heart. Notice the Bible said they were of one heart. Ladies and gentlemen, we don't have to agree on everything, but let's agree on Jesus. They were sincere. Number six, two more, and I'm finished. I'm never finished, but I'm going to quit. They were sacrificial. They were with David. Let me ask you a question. If he's king, and he's being coronated, don't you want to be with him? They, look at verse number 40. Moreover, they that were nigh them, even unto Issachar and Zebulun and Naphtali, Next word. See it? See the word? Don't take my word for it. What is it? Brought. Now, I'm not trying to be sacrilegious, but the king was being crowned. And in their minds, they were throwing a party. And if the party was for the coronation of a king, the people coming to the party felt the need to bring something. Now, every time we come to church, we're celebrating Jesus. Now, I'm not asking you what you got. I'm asking you what you brought. Listen to what they came with. Bread on asses and camels and mules and on oxen and meat. Talk about a party. They brought meat. Glory. Meal, cakes, raisins, wine. They can have the figs and the raisins. But the meat, yes. Oxen, sheep, abundantly. Ladies and gentlemen, if he's king, don't you think we ought to look inside our lives and find out what we have and bring it to him? The pastor will never, ever have to beg people to give when they're sure that Jesus is king. I tell a lot of people all the time, we don't even have to fuss about tithing. We ain't even talking about your money. The tithe is the Lord's. We're not going to get up and twist arms. If you sow a seed to me, you're going to go, I'll send you a bottle of this and whatever house you're trying to buy in Baltimore County, just take this juice and pour it right around the sign that says for sale. And the next day later, you get the house for half price. Cow manure! God doesn't bless you for giving to me. God blesses you for giving to him. If he's got your heart, he doesn't have a problem with your pocketbook. They were substantial. Their celebration and their contributing. And then lastly, they were satisfied. Last sentence of the verse. There was joy. You know what's missing amongst God's people? Joy. I didn't say happiness. Happiness is based on happenings. Joy is based on relationship. See, you can take my money, but you can't take my joy. Because you can't take my joy because you can't take my Jesus. There was joy. Joy. You know what this church should want? Joy. I don't need a song. I don't need an organ. I don't need a raise. I don't need a check in the mail. I just need the right king. Now let me ask you a question. Amidst the world of chaos, the drama, every day there's more drama. America is under attack. Christianity is under attack. And you go out into this world and you don't have to go long or far to find confused people. They wear it on their hair, their clothes, their body, everything. They're confused, and I'm confused watching their confusion. I won't say tonight, Dr. Toole, I'm not confused. There's some things in this life that make me go, what? There's some things on the news that make me go, wow. There are some things in government that make me go, why? When I look at him, I'm not confused. He never makes me go, are you the real deal? I've never wondered if he was going to get nominated again. I've never worried that he was going to get impeached. I've never been bothered that he wouldn't get voted back in. And I sure am not scared that he's going to resign. I got one king. And he's my king. And I know that one day we're going to see him sitting on the throne. Wow. And we're going to cast our crowns at his feet. But in between, now and then, I'm not asking you if he's on the throne in heaven. I'm asking you if he's on the throne in your heart, in your life. Because when you crown Jesus King, you march in his army. Our Father, now I'm earnestly praying for every believer, every member in the building. We're beginning another year with decisions to make. The stakes are high. The battle is intense. The church of the living God is marching to the beat of our commander-in-chief, Jesus Christ. God, may we with resolution pledge allegiance to the Lamb.